Homily 14. Rethinking Good Friday as Descent into Hell. The Creed reads, "He descended into hell." Christ crucified has been called a saturated phenomenon, that is, one with inexhaustible meaning. As a result, I wish to emphasize only two aspects of history's most important event. First, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. In addition, according to the book of Deuteronomy, he who hangs upon a tree is cursed. Thus, the sheer godlessness and horror of the cross. Jesus cursed, sin itself, seemingly utterly defeated. Satanic evil and our evil, murder, the way, the truth, and the life. The God-man himself. Second, the cross is where the victorious Christ the King descended into hell, the realm of godlessness, and conquered Satan, sin, and death in an apocalyptic battle that fully reveals the triumph of the Trinitarian God's love for us. The Christian paradox, victory through death, resurrection, and life through a gruesome death. In a TV series, the Viking King Ragnar and his men failed twice to conquer Paris. To his men's disgust, Ragnar converts to Christianity under condition that when he dies, his obsequies and burial be in the cathedral, and that his men be allowed to be present at the city gates. When the king and the archbishop agree to these terms, Ragnar is baptized. Shortly thereafter, Ragnar dies. He's placed in a coffin, brought into the Paris Cathedral. As the coffin is set down, the fully armed and much alive Ragnar smashes out of the coffin, thrusts his sword into the archbishop, then holds it to the king's throat. The city gates are opened, and Paris falls to the Vikings. A brilliant ruse, and one I see as faintly analogous to Christ's descent on the cross in terms of his descent into hell. I view Christ's descent into hell as a symbolic narrative that affirms what happened on the cross, Christ's final and definitive exorcism. Christ had predicted that he would enter and plunder the strong man's house, bind him, carry off his possessions. The Apostle Paul proclaims that on the cross, the conquering Christ disarmed the principalities and powers and made them a public spectacle. In John's Gospel, Jesus predicts that when he is lifted up, he will draw all to himself. Thus, it is easy to understand why the early Christians made Christ's triumphant descent into hell on the cross the centerpiece of their faith, and why they considered Holy Saturday as an aspect of Good Friday. Scripture makes it clear that God's word became flesh in order to invade the kingdom ruled by Satan, sin, and death, all in capital letters. Christ's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom. The paradox, the apocalyptic war between two kingdoms and two lords, was waged by the sinless God-man who became sin, endured both the shame and curse of the cross. God became sin. God cursed God. Why? To use Satan's very weapons against Satan on our behalf and for our sins. The early church fathers viewed Christ as the baited fishhook that Satan swallowed and brought into hell to his downfall. The crucified, cursed, made sin, God-man, Jesus Messiah, suffered not only the common death of a criminal, but also what the book of Revelation calls the second death, the descent into hell. Paradoxically, the invading, plundering, binding warrior Christ in blazing white strides triumphantly over the shattered gates of hell. Sheer majesty and dominion, the triumphant expedition of the victorious Christ. Christ the King, depicted in many artistic works known as the harrowing of hell. A Christian should view Christ's death on the cross, his descent into hell, as his cosmic conquest. In this way, he negated the power of Satan, sin, and death over all God's creation. Think of Luke Skywalker of the Star Wars movies, who flew his X-Wing fighter into the heart of the Death Star and thereby destroyed it. Scripture proclaims that Christ descended to the lower earthly regions after being made alive and proclaimed the gospel both to imprisoned spirits and the dead. Contemporary liberation theologians maintain that Jesus' baptism indicates his solidarity and identification with all humanity. They also opine that Jesus' descent into hell underscores his solidarity with the dead, the forgotten, the victims of tyranny, slavery, and injustice, in short, the utterly silent and forgotten of history. I go even further. The descent into hell underscores the completeness of Christ's solidarity with us in sin and death. The dead Jesus sank into a pit of blackness so profound that no light of hope could reach it. Utterly cut off from his powers, seemingly abandoned by his Father, devoid of any hope of redemption or victory, precisely in this total emptying, he brought his solidarity with us and with our lot to its climax. Again, he suffered what the book of Revelation calls the second death. In addition, Jesus descended into hell to destroy the power of Satan, sin, and death over all God's creation. This includes not only people past, present, and future, the godly and the ungodly, but also the entire creation. Did not the Apostle Paul write, "Creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God"? We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail until now. How many Christians realize the cosmic nature of Christ's death on the cross and his descent into hell? Jesus' apocalyptic victory reached and transformed every dimension of creation. Earth, heaven, and even hell. All this, Christ making peace by the blood of his cross. As one theologian boldly wrote, "Hell will now be seen not as an evil, but as the place where those who reject Christ are still cared for by Christ, and not simply as Lord and Judge, but as Savior and Healer. The triune God will punish transgressions, but will not remove from us his steadfast love or be false to his faithfulness." As Jesus says in the book of Revelation, "I have the keys of death and hell."